Dio, which came first, your chairs or your music?
The music, of course. Of course, way long before the chair business. I was 16 and a half years old. I had never heard my live Cajun band. My uncle had a band. One night they had a practice. I went to listen to them. And I fell in love with the guitar. And the little fella that was, well, in those days, they didn't have no drum. They had two guitar players. So the rhythm was loud enough. The young little fella that was playing one of the guitars asked me if he was going to teach me. He said, sure, I'll teach you. I bought me a guitar. Well, first, that night when I went home, I told my daddy. I said, and I had just started working, just started making my own money. I told daddy, I said, daddy, I'm going to buy me a guitar. Boy, he said, that's a hell of a thing. He said, the money just burn you in your pocket. You have to spend it. I said, yeah. I said, this time I'm going to spend it. But I said, I'm going to buy me a guitar. And I ordered one on the Montgomery Ward. When it got to the post office and when it got it, postage paid and everything, cost me $11. That's one guitar.
When did you first meet Hank Williams?
51. What tell me? 1951. That was at the old Tesh Club in the Iberia, 15 miles from here.
Was he playing there?
Yeah. He started from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And he took to an admission in the deal. And the first animation, I guess they had just came in. There wasn't long before the show, because evidently they didn't have time to eat, because the Drifting Cowboys, they had a dance hall, a lounge, well, more or less in those days it was called a saloon, and they had a restaurant. And the Drifting Cowboys went in the restaurant. They sat at the bar, they ate, I believe they did, sandwich or something, hamburger or something. And Hank, he didn't eat him. He went on the side of a table and just stood there and crossed his arm. And naturally, I was watching him like a hawk. Naturally, one of my cousins and a friend of mine, we got to talk to him for about 10 minutes that night. He was
what did he tell you?
Well, the first question I asked him, how long it took him to write a song? That was my very first question. He told me if it took more than half an hour, that means he couldn't write it. Boy, I found it, oh Lord, that was, I could just couldn't believe it. He could write a song that quick. And oftentimes now I write a song in 5 minutes. That's how it is.
We started. How did you write your first song? How did you write your first? I mean, your big hit.
Chris, I don't know. It just came to me, and I was playing the Hank Williams song. I was singing the Hank Williams song when the idea first came to me. And I just changed it a little bit and put some words together, and first thing I knew, I had the back door written. And the song that I took the back door from, it's Honky Tonk Blues. That's the one I was singing. And before I knew it, idea came to me. I was working at a service station. I was pumping gas, fixing flats, greasing cars, and I had my little pad in my pocket, and I write the word in English. I can't read or write French. I had to write the word in English, but in a way, I had to write that like a broken English, in a way that I knew what I was writing. I'd write a few words, here would come a car, I had to go serve, pump some gas or do something, and with all the time that I spent writing the song, I believe it took just about a half an hour. I knew what I wanted to do, I knew what I had to write, but I didn't have time to write it. I had to go serve the people. But with all the time I put in it, it took, I guess, about a half an hour to write it. And all the rest of my songs didn't take nowhere near 15 minutes to write it. Now the judge did not believe my story, the one I put on that country album. I wrote that from the house to the shop. That's how long it took to write it. Luella had found that I had wrote a few words long time ago, and she was cleaning the cabinet one time, and she found that piece of paper that had started that song. And she put it on the corner. When I went to the house, she showed it to me. I looked at it. I said, yeah, I do remember it. I left from the house, and when I got to the shop, I had that song written. I went back home, I got my guitar and sang it to her. And there were just a few words. It just came to me. Now, sometimes it's got to go a year or 2 years before I write a song. It all depends. I guess it all depends how people. But as far as writing a song, if I sit down with a pencil and a paper and say that I don't want to write a song, I'll never finish. I won't even be able to start it. It just comes to me. To come back about Hank Williams, he told me a bunch of stuff, but in those days, I was 19 years old when I met him. I did tell him that we was playing his music, we was playing his song in our Cajun band, and that I was the one that was singing. He thanked me for it, and I said, remember, he said, when you gotta start recording, I said, Hank, I said, I'll never record. I said, it's French music. And in those days, the Cajun music had died down. It wasn't as popular as, nowhere near as popular as today. But the more or less country and western had took over. And a Cajun band that couldn't play country and western, they were more or less not considered a band. And I told him I was singing his song. We'd play all his song, all the one that we were able to play. And he told me, he said, remember, he said, when you gonna start recording? I said, Hank, I'll never record because I said, it's French music we're playing. Well, he said, it's yours, huh? I said, what you mean? He said, the music that you're playing, he said, it's your music. Well, I said, yeah. I said, that's what we grew up with. I said, we played mostly for fun. But I said, no, I said, we're playing in a small nightclub. I said, it's going pretty good. Well, he said, remember, when are you going to start recording? I said, I'll never record. Well, he said, look. He said, you never know what the future holds. He said, remember, he said, I did not start on the Grand Ole Opry. He said, I had to learn my first chord on a guitar. He said, just like you. And he said, you don't start on the Grand Ole Opry. He said, you get there. He said, you never know what the future holds. And now, every once in a while, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, the one that's going to be laughing at you today, he said, you just might be better than them tomorrow. Well, what he told me that night, that more or less, as we say in Cajun, went in one ear and out the other, because I was 19 years old, and there was about a week, we were listening to Howling at the Moon. That's he was more or less in his prime. And 2 years ago, I was fortunate enough to go record with two of his musicians. That's something I never, I dreamed of it many times. More or less every performer dream about something like that. But I had never, it was an honor to be able to go record in Nashville with Don Hammond, Jerry Rivers. With the White, as far as the White and Ricky Skaggs, we became more or less like family. We stayed just about 8 weeks together. We stayed 7 weeks overseas when we went to Japan, Thailand, Burma, Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Oman, and Egypt. And we became just like family.
How was your music received over there?
We were very well received. We were well received. Everywhere we've been, we were well received. Central and South America was the same way. In France, Canada, it was the same way. We were very well received.
What about Oman?
Oman, they just love this. Believe it or not, on that overseas tour, Pakistan was about the best place we went to. The people was very nice. Sri Lanka, the people was very nice. Everywhere we went, the people was nice, but the three countries, now Thailand was, the people was very nice. The people was very nice all over the place, but somehow or another, in those countries, they seem more enthusiastic about the music, about the tour. But everywhere we went in Southeast Asia, we were very, very well received. The people liked us. We liked the people. We just loved to talk.
Did you think you'd ever go places like that?
No. No way. We never dreamed that we went. The first time I left home was in 1973. A man by the name of Dick Spotswood called me up. He had came over here for the National Folk Festival in Vienna, Virginia. And somehow or another, every time he'd put his radio on Cajun music, he'd hear that back door. And I don't know how, but Mark Savo had my phone number. We had never met. He had my phone number. They asked him, who was that new record? Who was the group that recorded that new record? He said, that's not a new record. He said, that's an old record. And he got my phone number. He got the record. And he called me from Washington, D.C., see if we wanted to go play over there. I said, my God, I just couldn't see myself go that far and play my music, you know. No way. I said, oh, no. I said, we just cannot do that. But he was a very smooth talker, you know. And he reminded me so much of myself. No, he was a good talker, I tell you. The more it went, the better it sounded. I talked to the boys, and we did go. In 1973, we played our first, we left... That was the first time we had left our area. And Frank Smith from El Paso, from the Border Folk Festival, he was there. That same year, he got us to go over there, in El Paso, and we've been going ever since. And I have now been to 21 countries with my music. I've performed in 17, but all the rest of the country, I was there on account of the music. It is the music that brought me there. Mexico, we went and visited Mexico, was at the Border Folk Festival. That's why I went to Juarez, visit Mexico. In Belgium, we visited Belgium because we had landed there, was going to France. They came and got us and brought us to France. We were there on account of the music. And Japan, we did not perform in Japan, but we were there on account of the music. And Egypt, the same way, we were there on account of the music. We did not perform in Egypt. We were going to Greece, but unfortunately, they were supposed to have a strike that weekend, so we can go. The State Department blew us in. But as far as going away from the area, when the Cajun music had dropped around here, there's a lot of Cajun that was ashamed to play our music. We were ashamed to play our music from different people, but now it's all together different.
What do you think changed it?
The folk festival changed it. Dewey Belfour was the first one that started traveling. He'd go to different festivals in the United States, and that's what done it. The people seen what he was doing, and that's how come there's so many young ones now that's playing music on account of the different festivals they got in the United States. They get to perform, they get to see the performer play the music. Used to, if you wasn't 18 years old, you can go and dance all. Now it's outdoors festival. It influenced the young musician to start playing more and more. That's what done at the folk festival.
So are there as many Cajun musicians now as when you were growing up?
Oh, there's more. There's more, much more. More Cajun music now. The young one is picking up the music more because, like I said, they see what we're doing with it. We go different places and now the different festivals that we have in Louisiana, they get to perform their music on stage. They don't have to be 18 years old to go in a dance hall and play the music. That's what they're able to show what they can do now.
What's this factory for?
This factory, I'll tell you. This factory is for the people that's lazy. I make some chairs and rockers like this one. That's what, and Chris, that's one of the reasons why I started making chairs and rockers and stools. One day I got lazy, I just had to sit down. And I figured I just had to do something about it. And I've been helping the people ever since.
How did you get into that interest?
I was working at a service station. A lot of time, at the end I was working 6 days a week. And a lot of time we was playing three and four jobs a week. Sometimes five. I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Of course, naturally, I was young, but it was getting to where I couldn't do it. My wife, Luella, got sick one time. The doctor came. He's more or less family, you know. He's been a family doctor ever since he came to Iraq. We were remodeling our house. He came in the house, he started looking around. He said, you should come work for me. And I had heard that he had bought a chair factory from Lordy Atkins. So after he had seen about Luella, my wife, he took me, we went and visited the shop. I fell in love with the shop. I always did love to work with wood, so that was right in my alley, you know. And fortunate enough, in about a week, he would start hiring. And I went to work for him, and that's how I got into the business. Went to work for him, I learned the trade, and that's how I got. Then after a few years after, we happened to find those machinery in Selma, Alabama. We able to raise up enough money to buy the machinery. And that's how we started in business.
How about trying it out? Is it comfortable?
Why, sure, you can't even sit in it.
Yeah. How do you make the bottom like that instead of just a plain old rocker?
This is more or less for carpet. A lot of homes has got carpet and a regular porch rocker with the old type rocker on it. You cannot rock on carpet. And another thing, the oil company bought a lot of them for the simple reason you can put that around a barbecue pit outside, drink your beer, and you still can rock. But this here is mainly for carpet. People that's got carpet in the nowadays, a lot of people's got carpet in their bedroom. And when a young couple, they want to rock a baby in the room, if it's carpet, a regular rocker, you can rock on carpet with it. So that's why we started making platform out of wood like that. Some people prefer the sitting. They want to know if it sits good. But some will not buy a rocker if it don't squeak. They just like that little noise, you know. Some, well, they don't want the squeaking noise. They want it absolutely quiet.
What kind do you like?
I like them both, regardless whether they squeak or not. When I get tired, I just simply sit down. Regardless whether it squeaks or not. That's it.